Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. We ask you to provide us with questions, and we do our very best to try to answer those questions. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please email us radio@ldschurch.org. That email address again is radio@ldschurch.org. We received a question a couple of weeks ago that says the following, quote, "What is the role of dreams in Revelation? Does the Lord still use them to communicate with his children?" Close quote. Well, to help better understand the role of dreams in the Lord's gospel plan, it's important to remind ourselves of a profound truth. In our day and age, the Lord is not silent. He has chosen to speak to man both through authorized church leaders and to the heart of the individual. One of the methods that the Lord has utilized is the gift of dreams. Though not all dreams can be attributed to the Lord, he has certainly established this method as a way to communicate directly with his children. There are numerous examples in the scriptures of God using dreams to communicate with man. Lehi was taught of the tree of life in a dream. Pharaoh, through the interpretation of Joseph, was warned of an impending drought. Since the beginning, the Lord has used dreams as a method of granting revelation to the world. President Spencer W. Kimball simply said, quote, "Revelation often comes in dreams. And who is there to say when a dream ends and a vision begins?" Close quote. As with any form of revelation, we must have ears to hear. It becomes more and more difficult to hear and interpret the will of the Lord through the whisperings of His Spirit when we are engaged in the sensory overload of life. It is no wonder that the Lord often speaks to us while we're asleep. Elder Parley P. Pratt commented on the spiritual sensitivity in such a state. He explained, quote, "Sometimes when your physical senses are asleep, your spiritual senses may be very awake, and then there may be woven into the fabric of your spiritual senses a message from one who may draw close to you and weave into your mind a dream that has meaning. It may be a warning. It may be of comfort. It may be a direction to do something," close quote. In addition to being an effective medium for revelation, Elder James E. Talmadge explained that the gift of dreams is one that follows the authority of the priesthood on earth. He said, quote, "Dreams have constituted a means of communication between God and man in every dispensation of the priesthood. In the earlier dispensations, the Lord frequently communicated through dreams and visions, oftentimes revealing to the prophets the events of the future, even to the latest generations," close quote. Since the restoration of the gospel, the Lord has used this vivid method of spiritual communication on numerous occasions. President Hinckley, in the April 2007 General Conference, recounted the experience of President Joseph F. Smith.
Joseph F. Smith was the son of Hiram Smith, who was the brother of the prophet Joseph, and was martyred with him in Carthage. Joseph F. was born at Far West, Missouri, on November 13, 1838, he came out of Missouri as an infant. As a lad not yet 6 years of age, he heard a knock on the window of his mother's home in Nauvoo. It was a man who had hurriedly ridden from Carthage and who told Sister Smith that her husband had been killed that afternoon. When he was 9, he drove an ox team with his mother across the plains to this valley. At the age of 15, he was called on a mission to Hawaii. He made his way to San Francisco and there worked in a shingle mill to earn enough money to buy passage to the islands. Hawaii was not a tourist center then. It was populated by the native Hawaiians, who were for the most part poor, but generous with what they had. He learned to speak their language and to love them. While serving there, he experienced a remarkable dream. I quote from his narrative concerning this. Said he, "I was very much oppressed when I was on a mission. I was almost naked and entirely friendless, except for the friendship of a poor, benighted people. I felt as if I was so debased in my condition of poverty, lack of intelligence and knowledge, just a boy, that I hardly dared look a man in the face. While in that condition, I dreamed one night that I was on a journey, and I was impressed that I ought to hurry with all my might, for fear I might be too late. I rushed on my way as fast as I possibly could, and I was only conscious of having just a little bundle, a handkerchief with a small bundle wrapped in it. I did not realize what it was when I was hurrying as fast as I could. But finally I came to a wonderful mansion. I thought I knew that was my destination. As I passed towards it, as fast as I could, I saw a notice which read, B-A-T-H, Bath. I turned aside quickly and went into the side of the bath and washed myself clean. I opened up this little bundle that I had, and there was a pair of white, clean clothing, a thing I had not seen for a long time, because the people I was with did not think very much of making things exceedingly clean. But my clothing was clean, and I put it on. Then I rushed what appeared to be a great opening or door. I knocked, and the door opened. And the man who stood there was the prophet Joseph Smith. He looked at me a little reprovingly, and the first words he said, "Joseph, you are late." Yet I took confidence and replied, "Yes, but I am clean. I am clean." He clasped my hand and drew me in, then closed the great door. I felt his hand just as tangible as I ever felt the hand of man. I knew him, and when I entered, I saw my father and Brigham Young and Heber C. Kimball and Willard Richards and other good men that I had known standing in a row. I looked as if it were across this valley, and it seemed to be filled with a vast multitude of people. But on the stage were all the people that I had known. My mother was there, and she sat with a child in her lap, and I could name over as many as I remember of their names who sat there, who seemed to be among the chosen, among the exalted. When I had this dream, I was alone on a mat, away up in the mountains of Hawaii. No one was with me, but in this vision, I pressed my hand up against the prophet, and I saw a smile cross his countenance. When I awoke that morning, I was a man, although only still a boy. There was not anything in the world that I feared after that. I could meet any man or child and look them in the face, feeling in my soul that I was a man every whit. That vision, that manifestation and witness that I enjoyed at that time has made me what I am. If I am anything that is good or clean or upright before the Lord, if there is anything good in me, that has helped me out in every trial and through every difficulty.
That's President Gordon B. Hinckley. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. We received a question that says, quote, "What is the role of dreams in Revelation? Does the Lord still use them to communicate with his children?" Close quote. President Wilford Woodruff likewise explained the effects of spiritual dreams in his life. He said, quote, "After the death of Joseph Smith, I saw and conversed with him many times in my dreams in the night season. On one occasion, he and his brother Hiram met me when we were on the sea going on a mission to England. He also talked with me with regard to the mission of the 12 apostles in the flesh, and he laid before me the work they had to perform. And he also spoke of the reward they would receive after death. And there were many other things he laid before me in his interview on that occasion. And when I awoke, many of the things that he had told me were taken from me. I could not comprehend them. I had many interviews with Brother Joseph until the last 15 or 20 years of my life. I have not seen him for that length of time." Close quote. As with any form of revelation, the purposes of inspired dreams can be varied. Often the Lord seeks merely to let us know that he is aware of us. These experiences are special blessings from the Lord that let us know that he cares for and is watching over us. In the April 2005 General Conference, Elder David A. Bednar shared an experience wherein the Lord used a dream to offer just such assurances.
"Some time ago, I spoke with a priesthood leader who was prompted to memorize the names of all of the youth ages 13 through 21 in his stake. Using snapshots of the young men and women, he created flashcards that he reviewed while traveling on business and at other times. This priesthood leader quickly learned all of the names of the youth. One night, the priesthood leader had a dream about one of the young men whom he knew only from a picture. In the dream, he saw the young man dressed in a white shirt and wearing a missionary name tag. With a companion seated at his side, the young man was teaching a family. The young man held the Book of Mormon in his hand, and he looked as if he were testifying of the truthfulness of the book. The priesthood leader then awoke from his dream. At an ensuing priesthood gathering, the leader approached the young man he had seen in his dream and asked to talk with him for a few minutes. After a brief introduction, the leader called the young man by name and said, quote, "I am not a dreamer. I have never had a dream about a single member of this stake except for you. I'm going to tell you about my dream, and then I would like you to help me understand what it means." Close quote. The priesthood leader recounted the dream and asked the young man about its meaning. Choking with emotion, the young man simply replied, quote, "It means God knows who I am." Close quote. The remainder of the conversation between this young man and his priesthood leader was most meaningful, and they agreed to meet and counsel together from time to time during the following months.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. Other times, the Lord's communications serve as a fulfillment of his promises. Dreams of spiritual matters can be one of the many ways in which God fulfills his promise that he will manifest himself unto all that believe. That according to 2 Nephi chapter 26, verse 13. In the April 2006 General Conference, Elder Dallin H. Oakes spoke of the power of such a promise from the Lord.
"The children of God in all nations have his promise that he will manifest himself to them. The Book of Mormon tells us, he manifesteth himself unto all those who believe in him by the power of the Holy Ghost, yea, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, working mighty miracles, signs, and wonders among the children of men according to their faith." Note that these promised manifestations of the Lord are to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Today, we are seeing the fulfillment of that promise in every nation where our missionaries are permitted to labor, even among peoples who we have not previously associated with Christianity. For example, we know of many cases where the Lord has been manifesting himself to men and women in the nation of Russia, so recently released from the long grip of godless communism. While reading critical or mocking articles about Mormons, two different Russian men felt a strong impression to search out our meeting places. Both met missionaries and joined the church.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oakes. Elder Oakes taught that such manifestations are often given to some to help them prepare for the gospel message. He went on to share one such experience, demonstrating the powerful effect of an inspired dream.
A medical doctor in a village in Nigeria had a dream in which he saw his good friend speaking to a congregation. Intrigued, he traveled to his friend's village on a Sunday and was astonished to find exactly what he had seen in his dream. A congregation, called a ward, being taught by his friend, who was their bishop. Impressed with what he heard in repeated visits, he and his wife were taught and baptized. 2 months later, over 30 others in their village had also joined the church, and their clinic had become the meeting place.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oakes. Elder Talmadge spoke of the Lord's use of dreams for the same purpose. He explained that, quote, "Most of the visions and dreams recorded in Scripture have been given through the ministering priesthood, but there are exceptional instances of such manifestations unto some, who at the time had not entered the fold. Such, for example, was the case with Saul and Cornelius. But in these instances, the divine manifestations were immediately preliminary to conversion. Dreams with special import were given to Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, and others, but it required a higher power than their own to interpret them, and Joseph and Daniel were called to officiate. The dream given to the Midianite soldier and its interpretation by his fellow, betokening the victory of Gideon, were true manifestations, as also the dream of Pilate's wife, in which she learned of the innocence of the accused Christ." Close quote. In addition to preparing the hearts of men to receive the gospel, dreams have also been used to warn of physical or spiritual danger. In the April 2010 General Conference, Elder David A. Bednar presented a number of the scriptural examples of this type of revelation.
We also are blessed by spiritual early warning signals as a source of protection and direction in our lives. Recall how Noah was alerted by God of things not yet seen, and he prepared the ark to the saving of his house. Lehi was warned to leave Jerusalem and take his family into the wilderness because the people to whom he had declared repentance sought to kill him. The Savior himself was spared through an angelic warning. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him."
That's Elder David A. Bednar. President Woodruff recounted one such experience where a tender warning from the Lord in a dream prepared his heart for a devastating loss. He said, quote, "When I was in the city of London on one occasion with Brother George A. Smith, I dreamt that my wife came to me and told me that our first child had died. I believed my dream, and in the morning, while at breakfast, I felt somewhat sad. Brother George A. Smith noticed this, and I told him my dream. Next morning's post brought me a letter from my wife conveying the intelligence of the death of my child. It may be asked what use there was in such a thing. I don't know that there was much use in that except to prepare my mind for the news of the death of my child. The Lord does communicate some things of importance to the children of men by means of visions and dreams, as well as by the records of divine truth." Close quote. There are many other reasons why the Lord may choose to speak to us through our dreams, and dreaming is only one of numerous divine methods. As He reveals to us that which we need, there is perhaps no greater message than this, that Jesus is the Christ. Elder Orson F. Whitney spoke solemnly of a dream with which he was blessed. The message was plain and unmistakable. He said, quote, "Then came a marvelous manifestation, an admonition from a higher source, one impossible to ignore. It was a dream or a vision in a dream, as I lay in my bed in the little town of Columbia, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I seemed to be in the Garden of Gethsemane, a witness of the Savior's agony. I saw him as plainly as ever I have seen anyone. Standing behind a tree in the foreground, I beheld Jesus with Peter, James, and John as they came through a little wicket gate at my right. Leaving the three apostles there, after telling them to kneel and pray, the Son of God passed over to the other side, where he also knelt and prayed." It was the same prayer with which all Bible readers are familiar. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As he prayed, the tears streamed down his face, which was toward me. I was so moved at this sight that I also wept, out of pure sympathy. My whole heart went out to him. I loved him with all my soul and longed to be with him as long as I longed for nothing else. Presently he arose and walked to where those apostles were kneeling, fast asleep. He shook them gently, awoke them, in a tone of tender reproach. Untinctured by the least show of anger or impatience, he asked them plaintively if they could not watch with him 1 hour. There he was, with the awful weight of the world's sin upon his shoulders, with the pangs of every man, woman, and child shooting through his sensitive soul, and they could not watch with him 1 poor hour. All at once the circumstances seemed to change, the scene remaining just the same. Instead of before, it was after the crucifixion, and the Savior, with the three apostles, now stood together in a group at my left. They were about to depart and ascend into heaven. I could endure it no longer. I ran from behind the tree, fell at his feet, clasped him around the knees, and begged him to take me with him. I shall never forget the kind and gentle manner in which he stopped, raised me up, and embraced me. It was so vivid, so real. I felt the very warmth of his body, and as he held me in his arms and said in the tenderest of tones, "No, my son, those have finished their work. They can go with me, but you must stay and finish yours." Still I clung to him, gazing up into his face, for he was taller than I. I besought him fervently, "Well, promise me that I will come to you at the last." Smiling sweetly, he said, "That will depend entirely upon yourself." I awoke with a sob in my throat, and it was morning. Close quote. Through our spiritual journeys, the Lord will speak to us in many ways. He may touch our hearts, speak truth to our minds, and we may be blessed with dreams of inspiration. If this ends up being the case, let us rejoice and give thanks unceasingly, even as Daniel of old. Quote, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." Close quote. That from Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. That concludes another episode of the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Hopefully we were able to answer your question about dreams. If you'd like to download this episode as a podcast so you can listen to it anytime, anywhere, just go to our website, mormonchannel.org. And if you'd like to send us an email with a question for Q&A, our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.